I'm not going to be too long this morning. I'm just going to do a bit of a refresher for some of us, for others of us. This might be new news. But what I'm going to talk about this morning is the vision that God has given us. And I'm talking about the big picture view, the bigger view that God has given Shofar. And it's important for us to know what God has called us to. We're going to look at it just now. But how must you know what to do if you don't know the vision? So we're going to talk about the vision this morning. And I've titled the message, The Joy of the Harvest. And you're going to see why in a moment. But it's important to have vision. Proverbs 29 verse 18 says that where there's no vision, God's people perish. I want you to see the New Living Translation. How it says it. It says, when people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. But whoever obeys the law is joyful. Isn't that exciting? Whoever obeys the law is joyful if you accept the divine guidance of God. Okay, and then the message, I like the message as well. It says, if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. Isn't that true? You know, if you've walked a while with God, you'll realize that this is very true. If you can't see what God is doing, you know, you'll miss everything. If you can't see His hand in the things in your life. But when they attend to what He reveals, they are most blessed. When you attend to the things of God, that is the place where you'll be the most blessed. And that's not what the world says. It's not what society says. It's not what the media says. The media says if you fulfill this temporary thing, you get fulfillment. But we know it's temporary. But the word says, if you attend to what God reveals, you will be most blessed. So vision is important. God is serious about vision, and that's why He gives vision to His church. So that we know what to do, so that we can find our positions, our roles, our places in this body that God has made. And we've been speaking about the church, and we're going to continue to speak just about the role of the church. And this is just a part of that. But specifically to us as a church, as Shofar. And then John chapter, or 2 John, verse 8. It says, look to yourselves that we don't lose the things we worked for, but that we may receive a full reward. Okay, interestingly, it says a full reward. If you've read one of John Bevere's books, I think it's On His Reward. He talks about the fact that Scripture talks about these different levels of reward. There's a partial reward, there's a no reward, and then there's a full reward. So in other words, the Scripture says that you can actually do something, you can do things for God, you can labor in His kingdom, but not necessarily receive the reward. Or you can just receive a part of the reward. And the other thing that the Scripture says is that there is actually a reward. Because sometimes we as Christians think, God doesn't want to reward us. We must just give. And that's not the truth. Scripture teaches all throughout that God has got no problem with giving a reward to those that are faithful. You know, and in fact, we must expect a reward because God wants to give. It's about the type of reward, but God wants to give us. He wants to give us. And we're going to actually end off by just resting in God and finding that rest in Him and seeing the reward that He wants us to receive, because there's actually a reward that He wants to give us. If we've been faithful, if we've been good servants and good stewards, that's what we're going to end off with this morning. Good stewards in the kingdom, then there's a reward and a full reward. But you can, as I said earlier, you can just access a part of this reward, or you can say, Lord, I want the full reward that you have for me. All right. So the big picture, the big vision that God has given us, and this is, it's quite a massive vision if you think about it. We're going to talk about it this morning. Who knows what the vision of Shofar is? Okay. Right. Are you reading up on the screen now? Okay. You can see some of you have got it. Our vision is to reach nations and generations through disciple making, leadership development, and church planting. Okay, if you're part of this church, you must know this off by heart. Because, and it's really important because this is the vision that God has given us. This is the divine revelation. So if you want to see how must I be a good steward, then you must look at that. That is the vision that God has given us, and we must entrust this vision. So everything that we do adds to the vision, God's vision. And that vision, if you look at it simply, it's simply an interpretation of the Great Commission. Every church's vision should be an interpretation of Jesus' commission to the world. Welcome, Brendan. So that is the vision God has given us, and we're going to look at it in a while. But whatever we do, whether we go on missions, this is the vision. It's to reach nations and generations through those three things. We're going to look at the three things. Who knows what our core values are? Almeri. Not. You don't want to try. Okay. It's on the board there at the back. So you must all go and look at the back. I'm not going to share it with us now. You've got some homework. Or after church work. Whatever you want to call it. Alright, so the first part. You can go to the next. Thanks, Esti. Nations. We're going to talk about nations for a second. What does nations mean? And no, of course it means going on missions. We do missions. The Congo team just arrived, and there's two teams that are going. So that is part of the nations, part of our vision, but it's by no means the whole picture of the nation's vision. But the vision that God has given us, this vision is one that coincides with Scripture. You know, Galatians chapter 3 verse 27 says, there's neither Jew nor Greek, neither male nor female, neither slave nor free, but all are one in Christ. Okay, Acts chapter 17 says that we are all from one blood. Okay, that's the Apostle Paul. He says, he speaks to the Greek philosophers, so he speaks out of a context, of a Jewish context. He says, but we are all part of the same blood. The blood, the word blood there that he uses is the word aima, which means literally the blood of men or animals, but specifically it means the atoning blood of Christ. So here we see that we all together, we find our commonality not in culture, not in our different interests that binds us together, but we find our commonality in this one thing. We're all of the same blood, and that blood is the blood of Jesus Christ. We're all one, unified. And that is what nations mean to us. It doesn't just mean going on missions and doing a little thing, going out then coming back. But no, it means we're unified. We've got one commonality. You know, we're unified in Christ. And this is, I think it's probably the most radical part of our vision, if you think about it. Because I have to be honest with you, I don't know of a single church in this country that really get this right. You know, but you'll find a lot of churches that are really doing great work, but then they of one grouping and one culture. And it's not about being culturally diverse or, you know, politically relevant, but it's about being scriptural. It's about finding our commonality not in culture. And I can spend a lot of time on this thing of culture. We had a missions training on Tuesday. For all the missions that went out, and one of the thing I spoke on was cross-cultural ministry, and the fact that culture is you know, we can spend a lot of time on this. I think I'm going to distract. Let me get back to the point this morning. But there's a different culture that applies when we come into the kingdom. We call it kingdom culture, where everyone is one in Christ. No matter what your background, no matter what your interests, we're one in the blood. And I think this is really a place where God wants to have His church, because it's a beautiful thing where different people come together and they find their commonality in Christ. It's a picture of where God brings a family, His family together, and every part of the family adds something something that is unique and something that is special. Because culture in essence is not necessarily bad, but when it's redeemed, you know, it brings something to the table. Different people, diversity in Christ. God redeems cultures. So that's the nation part. Then the second part is generations. Okay, so the first part of the vision is to reach nations. Then it's also to reach generations. And this is really important because Malachi says that in the last days, God will turn the hearts of the fathers to the sons and the hearts of the sons towards the fathers. And in our society, we've been speaking about it for the last while, just in terms of family, just in terms of the brokenness in family. You know, if you look at the people around us, the families, the people at our workplaces, there's so much brokenness. And God has called us to redeem, to reconcile, the ministry of reconciliation, to bring these generations together, and so that God can heal in terms of families. So, you know, this means that we want to minister to the generations. You know, we've got a student ministry, you know, and we've got the working and the families. But we want to, and we're busy with Grant and Rita's doing great work in terms of the kids ministry, but we really want to put our faith out that we've got a ministry on every level. We've got a youth ministry. Very soon we must really put our faith out and trust that God gives us ministries in every area, every part of every generation, so that we can reach. And that is really God's heart in terms of churches, that every part, every age comes to Christ and it gets ministered to. Now, before I go to the next part, how do we do this? How do we reach these nations and generations? I want to quickly just explain another thing that God has given us as shofar. And Susan mentioned it in announcements, but we're changing our focus in terms of our spiritual growth series. As she mentioned, we're calling it Encounter Series now. Still the same content, but a different focus. We want to encourage you because on this Wednesday we're going to do our first sort of our launch of how we're going to do this. So we want to encourage everyone to do this if you have it, well, to do it again. To sort of just refresh yourself and just become familiar with how we're doing it. But specifically perspectives this Wednesday, we're gonna just, the way we present it is not like a formal teaching as we normally would, where we stand here and we just present the truth of God. Obviously the truth of God is important, but what we're changing is that we're focusing more on the truth encounter. Because if you encounter the truth, then you changed. If you get a knowledge download or information never changes. Bible says knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. But when we have a truth encounter, you know, you'll realize if you look back at your life, that the times that you were changed, you know, wasn't when you received knowledge, it was when you had an encounter with the truth. And many times, you know, your life would follow, your mind would follow and, you know, receive the understanding of what happened. You know, if your spirit would first be changed and then your mind would follow. You know, so it was an encounter with truth. So that's really what we're trusting for. So we're very excited for that. And just to explain just the vision, because we're talking about vision this morning, I want to explain the vision behind the Encounter series. Because once again, it's quite different than other churches. You know, some churches, you go through a booklet and you work and you go through the truths of scripture. But the vision behind our Encounter series is the fact that the Holy Spirit is the teacher. That if you want to summarize it, the Holy Spirit is the teacher. So every one of the five courses is purely a platform for you to encounter the Holy Spirit, the teacher. So that when you walk out of here, you are connected with the source. You don't need another person. You know, because a lot of churches, you know, you connect with the person and then, you know, to grow, you must go to the person and you ask the person and the person leads you through scripture and through the word. And that's very great and it's very blessed. But Christ said, when I leave, it's better for me to go so that I can send the teacher. So that he can reveal all truth to you. That is a very exciting place where Jesus, you know, and you can just imagine Jesus is your mentor. You know, Jesus is, you're talking to Jesus, going through, Jesus says it's better that the Holy Spirit comes so that he can be the teacher. So that's really what we're putting out our faith for. And that's exactly that. That's why I'm sharing about this morning, so that we as a church, we can align ourselves with the vision that God has given us and stir our faith so that God can come and do this. That's why we need to all, you know, pitch our faith in terms of this. So I want to encourage you to come, if you haven't experienced it, and to invite people. Then, how do we reach this vision? What do we do? First one is disciple making. Disciples. You know, and what is a disciple? The word disciple means a disciplined one. In other words, you've come to a place where you've disciplined yourself in following Christ. Okay? I want to say this clear. If you look at what the definition in scripture is about a disciple is only someone that has created a disciple. You are only a disciple once you've walked the road and you've created a disciple. In other words, in the context of what I said earlier, only up to a place where you've connected someone else to the source, where they can hear God's voice, where they can, and actually I want to just define what I see as just the important things of being a disciple. And the first one is exactly that. I said, to hear God's voice. That is one part of something that needs to be in place for someone to be a disciple. The second one is, a person that is a disciple must have a relationship with Scripture. Must have a love for the Word and spend time in the Word. Then, must obviously accepted Christ, but this is very important, as Lord. Accepted the Lordship of Christ. Because you know what? You can hear the voice of God, and you can hear His Word, but you might not be submitted under Christ. You know, so you can hear His voice and His Word, but not be submitted. You can just think for yourself. People in the time of Jesus, they heard His voice, they heard His Word, but not very few of them were submitted to Him as Lord, because Jesus is Lord. So to me, a disciple must be someone that is surrendered to the Lordship of Christ. In other words, they follow God's agenda for their life above their own agenda. Alright? Lordship of Christ. Submitted to the Lordship of Christ. Fourth one is they must have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. So I mentioned just now, the Holy Spirit, the teacher. And then, they must have a function in the body of Christ. Specifically saying a function in the body of Christ rather than have a relationship with the body of Christ, because God's picture for His church is a moving church, is an operating church. That's why He uses the image of a body, because a body is constantly busy. You must have a function in the body of Christ. So for us, so far, it means, as I mentioned, the Encounter series. It means Bible school. I'm not putting Bible school under leadership, which we're going to get to now, but it's under discipleship. It is a crucial part of your walk. You cannot say no, Bible school is for leaders. Bible school is for everyone. I love the what's the phrase of Bible school? It says God's word in your world. Everyone needs God's word in your world. You know, so that's why you need to equip yourself in the word so that you can apply the word in your work situation, in your life, in your social life, everywhere. God's word must be applied in your world. And then, talking about the Holy Spirit as the teacher, there's still a place for someone to just walk a mentoring road. You know, maybe a 4 week or 5 week time period where you just facilitate the person in connecting with Christ. And the way that we do it here in Shofar is walking with Jesus. You know, and it's a very crucial part because it's the initial phase. How do you hear the voice of God? How do you connect with God? How do you, all those basic things. So that is really important. Disciple making. The second one is leaders. Leadership development. In leadership development, how can you grow in leadership if you're not a leader? So the first place, the first way that you do is you must become a leader. You must become a leader in the place of influence that you are, or you must put yourself in a place where you have some authority. And obviously God is the one that appoints authority. But for you to grow in a leader in Shofar simply starts at saying, I want to be a leader. When you begin to function, then there's someone that can help you and assist you in growing in that position. So for us, simply practically, it means becoming a small group leader. It means going on missions and taking leadership positions on there. It simply means getting your hands on. Because that's how leadership works. You cannot learn leadership by reading a book. You know, you can learn some principles, but you only learn as you begin to apply. As you apply leadership. So, not going to spend too much time on leadership. I want to actually just get to praying. Our time is running out this morning. The last one is church planters. And now, yeah, we need a bit of a shift for some of us. Because sometimes we think of church planters is only if I'm called to be a pastor. Then this applies to me. No, by no means is that the case. Everyone in this church in Shofar is called to church planting. And as I said, it doesn't necessarily mean the pastor, but there must be worshippers, there must be businessmen, there must be all spheres of life involved in church planting if we really want to reach the world. Alright, so when we're planting churches, and that's just a new way and the new model that we plant in churches these days, is we want to send teams of people. We don't want to send just a lone guy, you know, out there like a Clint to Durban. We're sending a whole group of guys that have grown in the Lord and they're ready, you know, to plant as God leads them. And I just want to clarify this. Why do we include everyone? Why is it not just the pastor? And why church planting, firstly? And we're going to look at Ephesians 1:22 from the Message. It says, at the center of all this, right at the center, Christ rules the church. The church, you see, is not peripheral to the world, but the world is peripheral to the church. The church is Christ's body in which he speaks and acts, by which he fills everything with his presence. Okay, so this is the reason why we don't train a couple of businessmen and send them out into Johannesburg, you know, to start an organization. Because God does everything through his church. His church is his vehicle. So yes, businessmen connect into the church and they do, you know, connect and influence the world out there and do things in growing the kingdom of God. But the church is the connecting point. That's why we plant churches. That's why this is part of our vision. Because everything Christ does, he does through the church. He fills all and all through the church. He brings his presence to the world through his church. Alright, I'm going to just want to end off with two specific scriptures. And then we're going to just spend some time praying. And for the band, if they can come up, so long that we're great. But there are two groups here this morning that I'm just wanting to pray for this morning. Remember we started out talking about the reward. We spoke about the joy of Christ and the joy that he has for us. So the two groups here this morning is those that are already pouring yourself into the ministry. Some of you might be tired, some of you might be, you know, overextended, or maybe you're just content, and that's great. But there's a group of you that I believe that God wants to give you a reward this morning. Okay, we're going to pray for you. And then there's those that might have received at this point, you've received more than you've given. The Bible obviously says that it's more blessed to give than to receive. But perhaps there's another reason why you've only purely received up till this point. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. We're going to talk about that just now. But Christ has made provision for both. Whether you're very involved, very busy with the vision, or you've just received. I'm going to talk about that just now. Psalm 45 verse 15 says, with gladness and rejoicing they shall be brought, they shall enter into the king's palace. Okay? That is the primary reward. Is the fact that we can enter into God's throne. We can be with Him. Matthew 25:21 says, His Lord said to Him, Jesus, talking about the parable of the three stewards, that He gave talents. The first guy comes back, he says, God says to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Some of us are going to enter into the joy of the Lord. He also, who had received two talents, came and said, Lord, you have delivered me to me two talents. Look, I have gained two more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Okay, so some of us are going to enter into that place of the joy of the Lord. It's interestingly, the master comes to those servants a bit later in the chapter. He says, you've been faithful over those two talents. Now I will place you over two cities. It's always that principle of stewardship. When we've been faithful in the little God has given us, He extends our tent pegs. He extends our territory. He gives us an increase. And you must have expectation that God will bless you and that He will increase your sphere, enlarge your territory. When I just say this, we're talking in terms of the harvest, because that's what we're talking about in this vision. The harvest was a joyous time. It was a time when people celebrated. It was a time when people received the fruit of their labor. They enjoyed the fruit of what they have done. So it was a joyous time. It was a time when people celebrated. And that's the place that we're going to enter. We're going to enter into God's joy. Then the scripture goes on in verse 24. It says, then he who had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered. And I was afraid, and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. Okay, so the third guy, comes to the master and he says, I've received your talent, but I didn't use it. I hid it away. I kept it safe. And the reason he gave was, he says, the master was a hard man, reaping where he had not sown and gathering where he had not scattered. In other words, his perception of his master determined what he was going to do. So for some of us this morning, God is going to do a shift in your perception. And for that to happen, you must come to God and you must be honest and say, Lord, my perception of you is that you're a hard master. And I've deliberately held back because I'm afraid. I'm scared. Okay? And that means that some of us need to come and say, God, I change my perception. I change my view of you. That you're hard, that you're going to judge me. Because the scary and the sad thing there is, if you look on, I'm not going to read on, but if you look on in that verse, it says that the master says, because you perceived me in this way, you expected me to move in this way, I'm going to have to judge you in that way. Because of his perceptions. A perception sometimes is very powerful. Therefore, we must bring up perceptions to God. Say, God, I repent of perceiving you in this way. And I repent of looking at you as a hard master. Won't you all please stand with me? I want to ask, while every eye is closed, that if you can stand here this morning, and you can say with a pure conscience that you've been laboring, you've been doing what God has given to you. Maybe some of you are tired for laboring in God's kingdom. But if you've been laboring, I want you to enter into the joy of the Lord. And I want you to symbolically do that by going on your knees. Because you're just going to be in a time of worship. And you're just going to receive from Him. I'm going to ask while you're on your knees, and we're going to pray for that just now. If your perception of the master is as a hard master, if your perception is that he's going to hit you with a stick, he's going to judge you, if you've got a wrong perception of your master, and you'll know it by looking at the fruit of your hands, maybe this is just a part of it. Then I want to pray for you quickly. Because I believe that God wants to change your perception. Why don't you just raise your hand? God is coming, going to come and change that. I want to pray a prayer for you guys. If you're raising your hand. And I want you to pray after me. Say, Lord, I repent this morning that I believed you to be a hard God, a hard man. I repent for believing that you are one that reaps where you have not sown. One that gathers where you have not scattered seed. And I repent, Lord, for being afraid. I repent for hiding some of my talents, or maybe all of my talents, in the ground. And I choose this morning to have a change of mind and to have a change of being. And to say, Lord, I'm going to give you all my talents and steward them well. Father, I pray for every person on their knees this morning. Thank you, Lord, that we can enter into your rest, the rest that you've given to us. Lord, your rest is not just a day anymore, but your Sabbath rest is a rest that we can enter. Amen. Every day.
Amen.
We enter into that position, Lord. We enter into that place. We enter into your joy this morning, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you for the harvest, Lord. Thank you that it's a joyous time. It's a joyous place. And we just thank you, Father, for a release of your joy of us. I just ask the band if we can worship on one of the songs. Let's just press into that joy this morning. The joy that God has for us. If your knees are getting sore, you can have a seat. If you want to stand, you can stand. But let's press into the joy. So I really believe that God has that joy for us. And I want you to come with the expectation. God is a giver, and He always wants to give us good things. And even when we lay down sin, there's something better that God has for us. How much more if we've been servants in His kingdom? So some of you, God is going to show you a picture of the reward that He's given you. You must take it by faith. If you don't access the gift of faith, you might not get a reward. Or you might only get a partial reward. Therefore, you must press into God and ask Him, what is the reward for my labors? Let us worship God.